The new drama, The Great Debaters, is based on a true story about a small black college debate team in the 1930s. They go on to challenge one of the best white schools in America and break new racial ground. Two-time Academy Award winner Denzel Washington stars as Mel Tolson. Tolson's a professor at Wiley College and a temperamental coach of the debate team.
I want you to try out for the debate team.
Are you sure you want somebody like me?
No. That's why you're trying out.
Gentlemen and lady, debate is combat, but your weapons are words.
Debate is blood sport. You must destroy your opponent, not only verbally, but physically.
I am here to help you to find and keep your righteous mind.
Washington also directs the film, which has just been nominated for a Golden Globe as Best Picture of 2007. Denzel Washington, welcome to the show and congratulations.
Thank you.
So in The Great Debaters, you cover social issues ranging from the intelligence of African Americans, what the perceptions were, to personal triumphs. We've been going to some of our listeners and they've got plenty of questions for you. Here's Holly Ross from Portland, Oregon.
Denzel, what I want to know is what role do you think film is supposed to play in the greater social debate? Do you think that film has a responsibility to create conversations around issues? And what conversations do you want your films to start?
Mr. Washington?
It depends upon the filmmaker. You know, films do a lot of things. You know, I think fundamentally they entertain, they can educate, they can stir up debate. I don't think they necessarily have to do any one of those things. They can do all, or they can do one. You know, I don't know what, you know, kind of debate Superbad might stir up, but who knows? You know, it depends upon who's watching it. But I don't think that it's their responsibility of a film to. I think films reflect society. You know, sometimes they lead the trends, but I think basically they reflect what's going on in the world and what people are talking about and what they enjoy. Films are also escape. I remember doing a film years ago, Cry Freedom, that I thought was a very serious movie, and I felt very serious about it. And, oh, everybody needs to see it. And a buddy of mine who's a doctor who deals with life and death issues all day long, he's like, Denzel, you know, I love you, but all day long I deal with life and death. When I go to the movies, all I want to do is eat some popcorn and forget. So when people ask me what should a person get from a film, I always say it depends upon what they bring to it.
When you think about your friend saying, all I want to do is forget, this is the second movie you've directed. Antoine Fisher was the first. Do you feel challenged by the fact that some people really don't want, when they go into the theater, to engage with something that they might feel is distressing, too emotional? Or do you just say, hey, that's life?
You know, the overwhelming response we've been getting to this film is laughter, tears, and cheering. I think that's healthy. You know, I haven't heard a person come out and say, oh, I'm depressed, or I feel worse about the world, or, you know, I want to go, you know, slap my mother or something. People have been coming out with a very good feeling. And based on the responses we got, we decided to put the picture out Christmas Day because we thought it was the perfect movie for Christmas.
I certainly laughed and I cried. But I was talking with a white colleague who's seen the movie, and she was saying that there were times when people were laughing, and she was just like, I don't get it. Do you think that
She doesn't get why people were laughing?
Yes, yes. And do you think that there are cultural or even racial differences in how different people will perceive the film?
You know, again, there are cultural differences in how people walk, how people eat, how people sit up, stand, whatever. Yes, absolutely. But that's life. That's, you know, people come from different cultures. That's what makes the world go round. And I think we overuse the word race when sometimes it could be culture, you know, even tribal, if you will. You know, but I think sometimes race is a good excuse. It's a catchphrase. It's a category. It's something. Oh, yeah, that's racism. And it might not even be racism. You know, I've never watched the show Friends. Does that make me a racist? Maybe it just wasn't interesting to me. There could be someone white who never watched the show Martin. Maybe it didn't speak to them. Does that make them racist because they didn't watch Martin, or me racist because I didn't watch Friends? No.
You've played so many people who were both real and fictional. Everyone from Malcolm X to Reuben Hurricane Carter, Frank Lucas. Who do you think is most like you of all the people you played, including Melvin Tolson in this film?
I don't think of it that way. I'm me. These are roles that I played. I don't compare, nor I don't even think about that. You know, I just interpret the role. And basically, when I'm done with them, I'm done with them. Now, they have all affected me in some ways. I've learned a lot from them. You know, it's interesting. I've made 35 films, but I've actually only played, I think, 6 or 7 actual people.
When you think about Mel Tolson, what did it take for you to put on his skin as that character? How did you psych yourself up for it? Or are you someone who just finds yourself able to slip effortlessly in and out of character?
Well, first of all, let it be known, I didn't want to play the character. I was in the movie because that was the way I was going to get enough money to make the movie. It wasn't because I had a burning desire to play the part. I was just going to direct the movie. But I understand the business of it, and basically the studio was saying, well, we'll give you $2 to make the movie if you're not in it, and $4 to make the movie if you are. And we couldn't make the movie for $2, so I needed to be in it in order to get the budget that I needed to direct it. And maybe it's a good thing that I'm in it because it might attract more people to come see it.
When you think about the Wiley debate team, the people who lived through it, what do you admire most about them? Who, you know, they were just kids, and yet they had to shoulder so many expectations.
You know, I've met Mel Tolson's sons. Henrietta Wells, who Samantha Book's character is based on, is still alive. She's 95. I met a couple of the other women and men that were around at that time. And every one of them talked about it, says, look, you know, we weren't bogged down with, oh, the world's against us, racism. Racism was a given. What was unique about this situation is they had these brilliant professors. You know, in those days, blacks could go to Ivy League schools or go to whatever top universities, but they couldn't work at them. So all of these professors would come back to what we now call historically black colleges. So you had a unique situation with only 360 students and these brilliant professors. So they prepared these kids not just for debating, but for life. And they taught them that education, as we say in the movie, was the only way out. I got news for you. It's still the only way out. And especially in that time, black or white, in the midst of the Depression, you know, as African Americans, they had limited options. If you didn't have an education, you know, you, especially in the South, you were going to end up picking cotton or sharecropping. And if you were white, for the most part, if you didn't have an education, you were going to end up picking cotton or sharecropping. It was a tough, tough time. So most of these schools, what we call historically black colleges like Morehouse, Fisk, Howard, Wiley, were all started within 10 years of the Emancipation Proclamation. And this was the first time that blacks were given the opportunity to get a formal higher education. And they obviously jumped on the opportunity. So they all, the professors understood, the generation before these kids understood, and these kids understood that this was important. Their families were making sacrifices so that they could go to Wiley College. Everybody might have been pitching in so this one child could go to a Wiley College. So by the time they got there, they knew what they were there for, and it wasn't about, you know, nonsense and fooling around. They were getting prepared for life.
You are helping out Wiley College right now. You've got plans to donate $1 million to help revive a debate club that has now been defunct for 5 years.
Right.
What do you want to do with that? What's your greatest hope, I guess, for how they will come back?
We had the screening down there last week at Wiley, and I said, you know, we're making this film that celebrates this great debate team from this school, and they don't even have a debate team now. And that just didn't make sense to me, and I was looking for something to do to help. And I basically sat down with the president and just said, look, you know what, we're going to put together a 10-year plan, give them a budget that, you know, a small budget that they can work with over the next 10 years and jumpstart their debate team. And nothing would make me happier than within the next 10 years they can, I don't know if they could be national champions, but imagine that. There's great debaters too, you know.
Absolutely.
But, yeah, right. But that they can get back on their feet. And it's not what you have. It's not even how much you have. It's what you do with what you have. Be it time, you know, money, love. So this is something in some small way that I can do to help a school that's taught me a lot and that allowed me to share their story with the world. So in some way, I'm just trying to give something back.
what's up next for you? I mean, you have had...
Vacation.
That sounds tremendous. What do you do when you go on vacation? Do you sit around and read scripts? Do you say, I'm just going to go out and take walks? What is a Denzel Washington idea of vacation?
Just spending time with the kids, you know, reading a couple of three books, no scripts, just, you know, catching up on some books I haven't read.
Well, well-deserved and well done. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Actor and director Denzel Washington. His latest movie, The Great Debaters, opens nationwide on Christmas Day.